Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains handling the complexities of grief and a queer icon. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. It's nighttime and you're lying in bed. Your house is completely quiet, but you can't sleep. You hear a noise downstairs. Knock, knock, knock. You sit up and listen, nothing. You pull the blankets up a little bit higher and tell yourself it was probably the house just settling. Then you hear it again. This time you hear something else. A strange scratching sound coming from the hallway. You slowly get out of bed and walk towards your bedroom door. You peek through the crack. There's a tall, dark figure standing at the end of the hallway. It's wearing a black coat and a strange top hat. Its arms hang almost to the floor. Its fingers are long and thin, and its mouth stretches into a terrifying grin. Then the figure slowly lifts one hand and points directly at you. Killian, what is this creature?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you'd know. This is the Babadook.
Oh.
Let's open up the cryptid catalog and find out more. Okay. So Killian, as always, first things first, we have to thank our friend Lucas for introducing us to the Babadook. So.
Introducing us. I know what the Babadook is.
Well, it is introducing. To be fair, it's introducing us in that we, neither of us,
have watched the movie.
Have though. Ever seen. Even though we are both very familiar with the Babadook, we have never seen the Babadook.
Or, like read about. I've not seen the movie. Nothing about that.
Well, here we go. So this one's a little bit different from the other creatures we've covered because the Babadook doesn't come from an ancient legend or a traditional monster story. The Babadook was created for a horror movie called, wait for it,
The Babadook.
Written and directed by an Australian filmmaker, Jennifer Kent. The movie premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in January of 2014. Oh, geez, I didn't realize it was that long ago. And became one of the most famous independent horror movies of the 2010s. It was Jennifer Kent's first feature-length film. And it was inspired in part by her earlier short film, Monster. So, Killian, have you ever heard of the Babadook before?
Yes.
Yes, where Killian and I are familiar, well, where Killian is familiar with the Babadook is we watch a lot of Watch Mojo videos where it's like it's the top 10 most
like scariest entities.
Yeah, things like that. So, do you know, based on what we know about the Babadook from your videos, what does the Babadook, quit yawning.
I'm sorry.
We're recording this post-school.
Yeah.
What does the Babadook look like, based on what you remember?
Very gaunt, like.
Okay.
And, like, long, gangly limbs.
Okay.
Pale as a ghost.
Right.
A grin with too many teeth.
Right.
A top hat, like.
I was gonna say, the Abraham, top hat is pretty important.
Like, Abraham top hat.
And, gotcha.
And
on a first name basis with the former president.
Like ghostly eyes.
Okay.
Usually, like, from depictions I've seen, there's like he wears like goggles, kind of.
I can see why that looks like that.
Looks like an 1830s gentleman.
Oh, okay, yes. So the Babadook...
It looks a lot like Spring-Heeled Jack.
Oh, okay, yes. I see where your brain is going with that. So the Babadook is a strange creature because no one really knows exactly what it is. In the movie, it appears to be a supernatural monster that enters a family's home through a mysterious pop-up book. The book is simply called Mr. Babadook. And it tells the reader that once this creature has been noticed and allowed into your life, getting rid of it isn't exactly easy. So let's talk about this thing, what this thing looks like. The Babadook is tall, really tall. It's usually dressed almost completely in black, wearing a long coat and a strange top hat. Its face is pale, just like you said, and almost skeletal, with a huge mouth filled with sharp-looking teeth. So this is all pretty on par with what you're saying.
Yeah.
Its fingers are long and claw-like, and its movements are strange and jerky. Instead of looking like a normal monster, it almost looks like someone took an old-fashioned drawing of a creepy magician and stretched it to twice its normal size and dropped it into a nightmare. And then there's the sound. The Babadook has this strange, deep voice that sounds like it comes from somewhere far away. One of its most recognizable sounds is a growling, almost singing way of saying its name. It's like a ba. I can't even do it.
Wait, we can find a recording. Okay, let's.
Well, no, we can't do that because, like, then it would be like. Copyright.
Why'd you have to moan on your?
Because they made a carousel of, Timon, and he looks weird. So I was looking at what he looks like.
Okay, I was like, why? Why Timon? Out of all the Disney characters,
I think it's like, yeah, that's what I thought it's a. That's what I thought it was.
That's a weird.
Ready. That's what I thought it sounded like. I just wanted to make sure I was right.
Yeah.
It's an almost singing way of saying its name. Ba ba duke duke. Duke. You do it.
Baby.
Baby.
I was trying to do something. Respect the bit.
Oh, sorry. Baby Duke.
Ba, 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 ba.
Off
of their heads.
And once you've heard it, you probably won't forget it. But here's where the Babadook really gets interesting. The monster isn't just a creature that chases people around a house. The entire movie is really about grief, fear, anger, and the things that people try to hide. The story follows a mother named Amelia and her young son, Samuel. Amelia's husband died in a car accident while driving her to the hospital on the night that Samuel was born. 6 years later, Amelia is still struggling with the loss. She loves her son, but she's exhausted, overwhelmed, and dealing with emotions that she hasn't really been able to process. Samuel is also having a difficult time. He's convinced that a monster is coming for them. He builds weapons and traps around the house because he believes he has to protect his mother. Then one night, Amelia finds a strange pop-up book called Mr. Babadook. The book wasn't something that she remembered buying. It wasn't something that Samuel remembered having, but somehow it's just there. As Amelia reads it, the story becomes increasingly disturbing. It introduces a creature called the Babadook, and it warns that once you become aware of it, you can't simply make it disappear. Samuel immediately believes that the creature from the book is the same monster he has been seeing in all of his nightmares. And then strange things start happening around the house. Doors move, objects disappear, lights flicker.
Like a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm. And Amelia begins seeing things that she can't explain. And the Babadook seems to be getting closer. At first, Amelia believes that Samuel is the one causing all the trouble. But eventually, she begins to realize that something is actually inside their home. The movie becomes less about a monster hiding in the darkness and more about Amelia losing control of herself. Her grief and anger begin overwhelming her. And the Babadook seems to become stronger as those emotions grow. Eventually, Amelia becomes so overwhelmed that the monster seems to take control of her. However, Samuel refuses to give up on his mother. Instead of simply trying to destroy the Babadook, he helps Amelia confront it. And that's one of the most important things about the movie. The Babadook isn't defeated in the traditional way that monsters are. Amelia doesn't discover a magic sword or find a secret spell that makes him disappear forever. Instead, she learns that she simply can't pretend that her grief doesn't exist. She has to acknowledge it, and she has to confront it. She has to learn how to live with it. By the end of the movie, the Babadook is still there, but Amelia has learned how to control her relationship with it instead of allowing it to control her life.
Can we watch a trailer?
Yeah, we can watch it later. And that's where things get really interesting, because the movie never gives us one simple answer about what the Babadook actually is. Is it a supernatural monster? Is it a physical representation of Amelia's grief? Is it depression? Is it anger? Is it the emotional trauma caused by losing someone she loved? The movie leaves room for all of those guesses. And that ambiguity is one of the reasons that people still talk about this movie. Now, Killian, what do you think is scarier? A monster that attacks you, or a monster that represents something that you can't run away from?
The second one.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Grief and things like that is something
that can
be
much more powerful than a supernatural monster. So the real danger can actually be ourselves.
And ignoring it. But also, grief is something that everybody deals with. At least at some point in your life.
Form. It's not about losing. It can be about losing your husband, a dog, a friend. It can be about anything. But you control when you want to end the grief and live with it.
Yeah.
Man, that was deep.
And it's all from a horror movie. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So that idea helped make The Babadook much more than just another monster movie. So when the movie was released in 2014, the critics loved it. It became particularly famous for telling a very serious emotional story while still functioning as a horror movie. The film received extremely strong reviews, and it eventually became considered an important example of what people sometimes call elevated horror, movies that use horror to explore deeper emotional social ideas. But the Babadook story doesn't end with the movie. In 2016 and 2017, an internet joke began spreading that the Babadook was actually a gay icon.
What?
Yes. The terrifying supernatural monster from the horror movie became a gay meme. The joke appears to have started on Tumblr, where people began pretending that the Babadook was an openly gay character. Then a screenshot supposedly showing the Babadook listed among the LGBTQIA+ movies on Netflix began circulating online. That screenshot appears to have been faked or manipulated. But
or
people
using AI.
It's editing. More so editing.
Yeah, like
Photoshop.
I don't think AI was like that.
Right. It was more so
photoshopping
back then. But
that was the AI back then.
Correct. You had to be talented to do that. But anyway, people didn't care. The joke was already too funny to stop. So then Pride Month arrived, and suddenly people were posting pictures of the Babadook wearing rainbow colors. They posted about the Babadook attending Pride, and they started talking about him like he was an LGBTQ celebrity. And the joke became so popular that newspapers, magazines, and entertainment websites started talking about it like it was all true. Even companies got involved.
I wonder what that director thought.
In 2019, IFC Midnight and Shout Factory released a special rainbow-themed Babadook Blu-ray during Pride Month.
What's a Blu-ray?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I know what Blu-rays are. They're like, they're a type of DVD.
Yes.
And a DVD player.
It's a type of, it's, I remember when Blu-rays came out and it was like a big deal. Like it was like the newest technology. Daddy and I had just gotten married. And now you're like, what even is a Blu-ray? That is the craziest thing
they
to
They have
me.
It on, that's Beauty what, and the that's Beast what all my, my Disney,
Oh, hello, Relish.
CD say, they're like, this is Disney Blu-ray.
Beauty and the Beast was the first Blu-ray I ever bought.
Was it the first Blu-ray ever?
No, it was just the first Blu-ray I ever bought. Because on our, Relish.
Relish.
Because on our honeymoon, I saw in the Disney store the difference between Beauty and the Beast on DVD and Disney, and it on Blu-ray, and I was like, oh, it's beautiful.
Nice.
So with our honey, with our wedding money, we bought a Blu-ray player and a Blu-ray. This is, I have now aged myself and your father tremendously. But anyway, hold on.
Yeah, me.
So, well, you're 10, so I've aged you there. Anyway.
Yeah.
They released a special rainbow-themed Babadook Blu-ray during Pride Month, with part of the sales benefiting the Los Angeles LGBT Center. So the Babadook went from a terrifying horror monster to an internet meme to an accidental queer icon.
Pretty. I wonder what the queer icon thing meant with the Babadook.
So it's a pretty impressive career for a creature whose main hobbies are haunting a family and hiding in the basement. But there's another reason the Babadook became such a recognizable character. The creature itself became a symbol. People began using pictures of the Babadook to represent everything from anxiety to grief to being overwhelmed by life.
Oh.
And that's pretty close to what Jennifer Kent intended by making the movie.
Again, let's think about what the director thinks about this.
She has explained that the film explores grief and emotional suppression, and that the death of her own father influenced the story. The Babadook works because the monster isn't just something outside the family. It's connected to the emotions Amelia has been trying desperately to push away. So when people say the Babadook is a metaphor, they're talking about the idea that the monster represents something Amelia cannot simply destroy, which is exactly what you were talking about. Grief doesn't disappear when you tell it to. You can't lock it in the closet forever. And pretending that you're fine doesn't necessarily make you fine. Instead, Amelia has to learn to live with it. And that's why the ending is so interesting, because the Babadook isn't completely gone. He's contained, managed, and kept under control, almost like an emotional scar. It's still part of her life, but it doesn't control her anymore. Now, Killian, are you ready for a little creepypasta?
Okay, I was like, is there going to be a story? Because yes. I thought the movie story was going to be that.
Are you ready?
Yes.
This one is called The Thing Under the Bed. My name is Ethan, and I'm 10 years old. I used to think monsters were easy. You know what I mean? Monsters were things with claws, things with giant teeth, things that lived under the beds or inside closets. And if you turned on the lights, they disappeared. At least that's what my dad always told me. Then we moved into Grandma's old house. The house was huge and it creaked constantly. Every door made a different sound, and the wooden floors groaned whenever somebody walked across them. My bedroom was at the end of the upstairs. At the end of the upstairs hallway. The first night, I heard something downstairs. I sat up. I waited. Then I heard scratching sound. I pulled the blanket over my head. Nothing happened. The next morning, I told Mom. She laughed and said it was probably the pipes. That night, I heard it again. Then a voice whispered from downstairs. Stop reading ahead in the story.
I shan't.
I froze. It sounded exactly like Mom.
You're not Mom, I'm Mom. Okay, I didn't know that. Ethan, come downstairs.
I almost got out of bed. Then I remembered Mom had told me she was going to bed early. She was asleep in the room across the hall. I didn't move. The voice came again.
Ethan.
This time, it sounded angry. I pulled the blanket over my head and stayed there until morning. The next day, I found something underneath my bed. A book. It was old and covered in dust. The cover showed a tall man wearing a black hat. His face was mostly hidden in shadow. And underneath were the words, "Do not read." So, obviously.
I read it.
Yeah, it was a good guess.
I'm a 10-year-old myself, so too easy.
The book was about a creature called the Babadook. The story said that once you knew about the Babadook, it knew about you. I slammed the book shut. Then I heard something behind me. I turned around. Nothing. I looked back at the book. It was open again, except there was a new page, a picture of my bedroom, my bed, my window, and a tall black figure standing behind me. I slowly looked towards the corner of my room. Nothing was there. Then the closet door creaked open, just a little. I grabbed the book and ran. I found Mom downstairs and threw it onto the kitchen table. She looked at the book, then she looked at me. "Ethan, where did you get this?" "I found it in my room." Mom's face went pale. She picked it up. The pages started turning by themselves. 1, 2, 3, then the final page appeared. There was a picture of the Babadook standing behind Mom, and underneath it were the words, "You can't get rid of me." Mom dropped the book. The lights went out. Something moved upstairs slowly. Step, step, step. Mom grabbed my hand. We ran outside. Neither of us looked back. But as we stood in the driveway staring at the dark house, I saw something in my bedroom window. A tall figure wearing a black hat, long arms watching us. I squeezed Mom's hand. "Do you see him?" She looked up. For a moment, she didn't say anything. And then she whispered, "Yes." We stayed at a hotel that night. The next morning, the book was gone. We never found it. But sometimes when I'm trying to sleep, I hear 3 knocks from somewhere in the house. And I don't get out of bed anymore. Because I've learned something. Maybe monsters don't always live under your bed. Sometimes they just want to know they're still there. They just want you to know they're still there.
How'd you say it twice?
Because I said it wrong the first time.
How'd you say it wrong?
I don't know. I
said it right.
Oh, okay. The end. So, Killian, what do you think of the Babadook?
I like him.
I like him, too. We need to watch this movie. I don't know how we've gone this long without watching it.
I've seen, like...
clips of it and stuff.
No, I've seen, like... When I've been online on just... I'm bored at recess. I've just seen a gif of a... dude with a black hat with a... rainbow cape just dancing around. I don't know if that was the Babadook. But it sure sounded like him.
Sure sounded like him. I love that you don't get to access to the internet at home, but you get to just surf the web willy-nilly at school. Wild to me. Anyway.
No, I was looking at, like, I was bored. I typed up monsters. And it you showed that.
Well. Either way. Oh my goodness. Thank you to our friend Lucas for suggesting today's story.
Thank you, Lucas.
Can you try that again?
Thank you, Lucas.
Try again when you're not yawning.
Thank you, Lucas.
Okay, there it is. I love it. Thank you so much. I like the Babadook. I think he's great.
Yeah.
If you have a cryptid you would like us to cover, make sure you grab a grown-up. Wait till they are available to you.
Wait till business hours.
Correct.
And ask nicely.
Ask very politely. And yeah.
Yeah.
Send it to our email.
And stuff.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Cast. Oh, wait. I forgot to say this.
What?
Apparently, we forgot to post again in the summertime. We get really bad about posting during the summer and around Christmas time. We get very busy, you guys.
We do.
And I'm sorry. We didn't post for like...
We went on like 5 trips this summer.
That's wild. We did not do that. We went on like 2. But
You went with... You went on 2 with me. I went on...
You went on 1 extra one that I didn't go on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay, yeah.
The end of the summer got wild. We didn't post for a month. I promise everything's okay, and I promise we will get back to posting. Thank you for those of you who are so sweet and reached out. I promise everything is okay. It's just the end of summer. I'm sure everybody understands. Gets very busy. And then this is Killian is going into 5th grade, so everything got busy getting everything ready for 5th grade.
I bet kids at home are like, Killian isn't 7 anymore.
I'm sure they know that you age much like they aged. You didn't just stand at 7 like cartoon characters do.
I wish.
Anyway, now let's go back to what we were saying. Thank you for listening to the Cryptid Catalog. I'm Karina.
I'm Killian.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. I said this wrong. This has been the Cryptid Catalog.
Until next time, remember the cryptids are watching.